The Tuesday night Bible study. It's Tuesday night where we get the right to grow in the grace of God. Amen. The Bible says that much knowledge increaseth sorrow. Amen. I'll also say that much knowledge increases maturity. With maturity, there is a little sorrow because you begin to learn and understand what kind of condition the world truly is in. You're not oblivious to it any longer. And then you begin to realize the hurt and the pain, the sorrow, the shame that's going on around us each day. There's a lot of sorrow in that. But at the same time, as you obtain knowledge to understand that, you also obtain the knowledge through the Word of God to do something about that. And that's why we're here on Tuesday nights. And I'm so thankful for such a crowd that would come and be with us on midweek Bible study night. Keep the faith. Keep the fire burning. Amen. Don't let seasons in our lives interrupt our dedication to the Lord and to His house. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise God. And everybody goes through seasons in life and times in life. Good times, bad times, sad times, mad times. Glad times, prosperous times, poor times, all kinds of times. But don't let the seasons interrupt your relationship with the Lord and with His church. Praise God. Amen. Does that make sense? Good. We're still making sense. All right. We're going to dismiss our children. Let them go to children's church and have a good time. Hey, folks, spread the word about preschool. We've got one of the greatest preschools in Davidson County. And we need Davidson County to find out about it. Tonight's Bible study, we're going to open up with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And let me go ahead and give you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, we're not going to cover, but the subject is all Scripture. Now you understand what I'm smiling about. I'm not going to preach the whole Bible tonight, but we're going to try to comprehend and understand the importance of, and everybody say, all Scripture. I have favorite Scripture. Just like I have favorite foods, and we'll talk about that here momentarily. But just because I have favorites doesn't mean, and just this past Sunday we went out to eat, and I said, where are we going? Because I let that decision go to everybody else, because I'm never hungry after service. Until about 30 minutes later. And so I let them decide, and this Sunday it was Italian. And they said, we're going to Italian. I said, awesome. I'd rather be going to Speedy's Barbecue. But there's always something there I can make work. In other words, we have preferences with food. We have preferences with clothing and all of that good stuff. And we even have preferences with the Word. But what we've got to understand is that we've got to honor all the Word, and not just the ones we like. Am I right? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, everybody say, all Scripture. All of the Word of God is given by inspiration of God and is presently, right now, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, our lives, our lifestyles, everything about us is derived from the Word of God. Amen. Now, opinions are fine, but make sure, let's let people know it's an opinion. And because if you're not careful, churches can pop up because of an opinion and have no Bible base whatsoever. And you know I'm not speaking fantastic here. That's a truth. And so we need to understand that. So let's talk about the subject of all scripture. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, help me. God bless you as you're seated. Praise God. When Bill Clinton was elected the second time, in the second term as president, the White House chef, who had been there in the White House for 20 years and was an absolute expert in French cuisine or French cooking, he quit his job when Bill Clinton became president the second term. The reason was that seemingly all that President Clinton's taste buds wanted and trended for was foods that were fried. That's all he wanted, fried food, such as are commonly served in Arkansas. And so that's what he wanted, was food like was in Arkansas. Well, the chef quit because he got tired of just frying food. But this is one of the few areas where, I'll be honest with you, I have to agree with President Clinton. I like fried food myself. And Cooper's not careful, I steal his French fries. And he don't like it. He'll go into a Coop droop right now. Anybody ever seen the Coop droop? You disappoint little Cooper and you'll see it. It's like, his little knuckles drag the ground. It's funny. I disappoint him just to see it. It's also true that some scriptures from the Word of God are more palatable than other scriptures. And it may be the case in part due to one's background, sometimes our teaching, our experiences, or sometimes our spiritual environment. But if understood correctly, all scripture is healthy. All scripture is healthy. For the spirit, it's healthy for the soul, it's healthy for the mind, and it's healthy for every man, woman, and young person. The Apostle Paul states it well in a particular scripture. If we can get it up, it's Second Timothy 3:16 and 17, because I want you to get this. I want you to see this. There's a lot of scripture that there are churches that will not preach. I'm sorry to say that. I apologize for my comrades. But I'm telling you, there's just scripture that they feel is just not palatable. And so if it don't taste good, if it don't feel good, we're just going to leapfrog over that. You know what? It's just us here tonight. Can I talk to you? When you walk into the new foyer of the new church, if you look up, there's this huge wall about the size of this back wall right here, about 12 feet up there. And it goes about to the, 21 feet, 80 feet. It's tall in there. And it's huge. And I've been wondering, what can we do with that big wall? And I thought, you know what? I'd like to just go in there and just real fancy-fied and put Acts 2:38. And, our church, boy, when we saw that, we think, yeah. There's other churches, if they saw that, they'd be so offended they wouldn't come back. And for the life of me, I've taught home Bible studies. And then when we start covering Acts 2:38, simple, repentance, baptism, in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost and all of that. And I get to teach that. And I've had many people in my home Bible studies to stop me and say, wait a minute, what did you just say? I said, they said unto Peter, what must we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they said, read it again. And they said, I've never heard that in my life. What does that mean? And I'll tell them what it meant. And then they'd always ask the question, why doesn't my preacher preach that? And I always have to say, I do not know. Because the Word of God plainly says, let's read it together if you're there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Praise God. So, it's my responsibility to teach it and preach it. Amen. I don't want anyone in our church ever to say to someone out there, when they ask you why you live like you live, perhaps why you look like you look, dress like you dress, walk like you walk, and talk like you talk. I don't want it ever to be said, because my preacher told me to. Because that's not so. I am responsible to teach the Word of God. And when the Word of God tells us so, then that's what we consider. You see what I'm saying? Amen. And so I'm going to teach the Word of God, and I'm going to do the Word of God. And so when I teach the Word of God, I want you to make that decision so that you will be able to tell them, I do this, I look like this, act like this, talk like this, because I want to be pleasing to my God. I'm not only being obedient to man, but I'm being obedient to the word that the man preaches. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because there's too many man-made doctrines that people are saying, I'm going to believe it like he believes it and not like he believes it. And I'm going to do it like they do it and not like they. There's no them and us and they and all of that and all of this. There's only one word of God, and that's your Bible. And regardless of what the church name is, the church should preach the same word of God that everybody else should preach. Everybody's crying out about one world nation. One world, one government. Okay, I'm all for that, but let this govern that one world. I don't mind coming together in unity around the world. Call the whole world the United World. The United World of America. I don't care. Amen. But, hey, I don't want some dictator up there telling me how to live. I don't want him to tell me that we're haters because we don't believe in Buddha, when Buddha's not my God. Hello? Amen. The Word of God should have preeminence over our lives. Amen. And so, everybody say, all the Word. Praise the Lord. All of the Word. These verses are far easier to read and quote than to put into practice, but they're necessary and they are true. Amen. I love John 3:16 just as much as anyone else, but there's so much more scripture than John 3:16. Amen. John 3:16 is easy. It's palatable. It's no sacrifice on my part. It's all Jesus doing the cross toting and all him doing the sacrifice, and that's why it's loved more than any other scripture in the world. But what we've got to understand is that there are other scriptures that we need as well as John 3:16. And so these particular scriptures that I'm giving you here, they're not always easy to keep. But we've got to strive for all scripture to be part and parcel of our relationship with God as Christians. And so all of these mean to be kept and obeyed. Acts 2:38 is just as important as John 3:16. One of the most powerful things that can be said about David is that he loved all of God's commandments. Amen. And David was quite an example. He said, where was it in Psalms 119, 6 and 7, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. David was saying, Lord, I want to know all of them because I want to do all of them, not just some of them. He said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. When I know how to praise you like you want to be praised, when I learn that, Lord, from the Word of God, then that's exactly what I want to do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So it's the statutes. It's the keeping of the Scripture. Amen. I'll give you this one. 119, 32, and 33, where he said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So it doesn't change. It doesn't vary. It's not this one day and something else the next day. Does that make sense? And I'm glad, because that's the way the world does. It shifts, it changes, can't stay up with it, and it's up and down and all around. But thy word, the word of God, will always be the same. Praise God. Amen. Now, unlike King Saul before him, David was determined to make God's scriptural truths the ruling guide in his life and kingdom. David lived out what God told Joshua 400 years before David became king. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Everybody say, all that is written in the Bible. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1 and 8 said this, hence comes both David and Joshua's great success. They embraced all of God's truth, both the palatable and the not so enjoyable. They kept both the easy to obey, all of the easy truth, and they also kept the not so easy. But there's great reward in being obedient to God's word. Amen. Can you believe that? Praise God. The law of the Lord is perfect, David said. The testimony of the Lord is sure, David said. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true. More to be desired are they than gold, he said. Sweeter than honey, he said. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. In keeping what? Everybody shout the word. So we're talking about, and you know, you may be sitting out there tonight and say, well, Pastor, this is all good and everything, but everybody knows you should obey the word. But I'm going to show you something in a few moments that I received in a periodical that perhaps will blow your mind about America and her religion. Amen. And so I'll get there in just a few moments. But many of God's people readily embrace the following scripture. Now, are you ready? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. That's James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. There's hardly a church that doesn't believe that scripture. It's easy to believe, because all we got to do is believe and go forth, and elders pray for us, and we're healed, and we're saved, and we're set free, and liberated, and touched of God, and all of that. And that's a good thing to believe. But James wrote that scripture as he was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. James was the physical brother of Jesus Christ. James preached Acts 2:38. James baptized in Jesus' name. James died for the gospel he preached. So please, if they're going to preach that scripture James wrote, Let's preach everything that James preached. Hallelujah. Will a man rob God? Here's another scripture from the Word. Will a man rob God? This is one that perhaps some struggle with. Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And the Word says, in tithe and offering, you're cursed with a curse, for you robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Amen. The only time in the Word of God the Lord said, prove me. Now, while Matthew 21, 22 is readily embraced, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. There's not a church in the nation that doesn't preach that. But where's Malachi? Now, here we go. North America is suffering greatly because the Word of God is so grievously neglected, even in the churches. This following information that I give you is taken from the book written almost, now listen, 30 years ago. Okay? That's very important for you to remember. Everybody say 30 years ago. And it's entitled, Come Before Winter. That was Paul's statement to Timothy because he wanted his coat and he wanted his parchments. And he sent him a message and he said, Come Before Winter. Timothy never got there before Paul was killed. But it was written by Charles Swindoll, where he referred to a National Magazine article entitled The Startling Beliefs of Our Future Ministers. Now, this was 30 years ago, and this is what they believed. It was asked, do you believe in a physical resurrection where we will rise from the dead? 54% of them going into the ministry said no. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? 56% of them going into the ministry said no. Do you believe in a literal heaven and hell? 71% of them going into the ministry said no. Do you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? 89% of them said no. Do you believe that man is separated from God by birth? In other words, that man must be born again. 98% of them said, we're not even concerned. Now, the question is, well, let me tell you another one. Do you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ? That's the rapture. 99% of them said no. That's alarming. In those seminary students, most of them, on average, were about 20 years old. This was 1988. Then they, if so, they are approaching 50 years old today and very likely involved in the evangelical ministry of this nation. Coupling this with the banning of God, prayer, Bible from our public schools, several Supreme Court decisions where God's word has been avoided and taken out, it is easily seen why America is in the shape that it is in. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's Proverbs 14 and 34. So the reason our nation is in trouble is because we have people that believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. That is it. Well, how are you born again? I don't worry about that. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, what about the rapture? I don't even know about the rapture. I don't worry about that. Well, what about the second coming? What are you talking about? Second, I believe in Jesus Christ. No, you don't. Because if you did, you would understand by now. Hello? You were 20 years old. 30 years later, you would understand by now that He is the Word, and the Word is Him, and that there's no separation between the two. And if you're going to obey Him, you've got to obey the Word. 30 years later, and they're still ignorant to what the Word really is. And they're leading our nation and our churches. So, everybody shout, all of the Word. All of the Word is very vital and very important. I am not standing in front of you saying, I know all the Word. If you want to know, you come to me. That's why it's just as important for me to have my name on that Bible chart and reading it every year as it is for you. I know I'm called to preach. I know I'm called to pastor the greatest church in the world. Amen. The United World of America. But I also know this, that it's my responsibility to know everything I can know about the Word of God so that we can be saved. Because all of the Word is vital and very important. Amen. So, we want to live in righteousness, but the only way we can know how to do it right is to know the Word. Amen. There is a scripture that says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not that they don't know, it's that they don't want to know. And we will be judged for that as well. Because it's so easy to get to know the Word of God. Amen. Did you know that if you read the Bible through without stopping, you could read the Bible through in 72 hours? So the Bible's not that big and bad and ugly. We can get this done in 12 months. Praise God. Just challenging a little bit. Praise God. The worldwide apostolics and Pentecostals and those that are endeavoring to preach the truth are preaching and teaching the very same thing and principles that I'm teaching you tonight. Amen. In fact, most of what I'm sharing with you tonight came from another man's pulpit. I'm just adding mine to it. I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm adding to his Bible study. But I couldn't get away from it today when I was going, when I was perusing it. And a great man of God wrote it. And I appreciate it. And I wanted to share it with you. But we all believe this. All of us believe this. And we should, every preacher in America and around the world needs to teach this. And I'll tell you why. It seems as though that there is more of a hunger in the pew than there is the pulpit. And when people come and they say, we want more, isn't there more? Isn't there something deeper? Isn't there a way we can go wider? You know what? If I was a pastor and someone told and asked me that, I would say, you know what? There's got to be. Let's pray about it. Let's fast about it. Let's seek God. I'm going to call the church together on a 3-day fast, and we're going to ask God, isn't there more? Is there a deeper? Instead, they're saying, you just believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe what I'm telling you, or you get out of here. What attitude is that? The Lord never told anybody just to get out of here. Amen. He came to seek and save that which is lost, and he never. The Bible says a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. So we're going to be very careful about all of this feeling stuff. We're not here to hurt feelings, but we are here to preach the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me. Amen. Praise God. And so the Word of God, all of the Word of God is important. The Apostle James states it best. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like that man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and everybody say, that's my Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. James 1, 21 through 25. We're coming to the real fight. And we're going to continue to fight the real fight. And that is to fight against easy believism. We're all going to heaven. It don't matter what you believe. Give me the scripture for that. Don't try to deceive me. Don't try to set me on a path that's not even in the Word of God, that I find my destruction and judgment. If it's in the Word of God, tell it. But if it's not, keep your mouth shut. The Word of God says that if we will follow the words of the apostles and hear their words and be obedient to them, that we will be saved. But if we do not, we will be cursed. Let's stand together. So we're going to continue to fight. The fight for what, Pastor? Simple scriptural truth, the Word of God, which God has so rightly and richly given us and was embraced by the fathers of this precious faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for our forefathers. You know, this pride and prejudice, I wish they would give me about a 10-minute pulpit somewhere in the White House or wherever. I don't care. I would just be brave enough to do it. Everybody's missing it. The whites are missing it. The Spanish are missing it. I'm missing it. You're missing it. The blacks are missing it. The Asians are missing it. It's not about prejudice and pride. It's about what we don't see and what we're not giving credit to. There's a disrespect for the military, even though the military gave us what we have today in our nation. Am I right? And so here we are in a nation fighting one another over giving our military the credit and the praise that they deserve. The Irish want to fight about what their rights and how they're being treated. This one wants to fight about how they're being treated and prejudice and all of it, when they need to go all the way back to history and see the people, their forefathers, that caused their freedom to take place in the beginning. You know what? If I'm just saying this, and I hope I don't offend anybody. I didn't mean to go like this, but if my forefathers were slaves, and they could have been, French people were stolen from their homeland and made slaves as well. But if my forefathers were slaves, I wouldn't waste my time today worrying about how prejudiced you are against me. I want to know every name of every individual that was brought to my country and was the seedbed of my freedom, so that I could give them praise for my liberty and my freedom that I have today. Does that make sense? Instead of fighting one another. I didn't cause it. I wasn't there. You didn't cause it. You weren't there. There's no more slaves. No French. There's no Irish vagrants. There's no more. And so, rather than fight other religions about what they believe and what they don't believe, and you're haters, we're haters. You're a cult. No, we're a cult. You're different? No, you're different. Why can't we all just go back to our forefathers that bled and died for this truth? where Matthew was filleted like a fish alive for preaching this truth I'm sharing with you tonight. Instead of fighting one another, why don't we give God praise for our forefathers and come together in unity over the Word of God, and let's have the greatest revival that this world has ever seen in these last days. Every color, every creed, every nation, I don't care. Amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for your ancestry. I thank God for mine, whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. We are the generation that, truth of the matter is, you couldn't be prejudiced if you truly wanted to, because you don't even know what's in your family tree. That's how far along we are. And so let's get our minds off of hate. Let's get our minds off of all of that and start thanking God for the ones that brought us to the point where we are today, and taking it further for them since they sacrificed so much. In other words, I'm just simply saying, let's fall in love with all of the Word, because it was a sacrifice for every word to be put together as a Bible for us to understand and follow Jesus Christ. Let's lift our hands and praise Him together, shall we? Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for the Word. Let's praise Him for the Scripture. Let's praise Him for the Word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank You tonight for the Word. Praise You for the Scripture. Praise You for my Bible, Lord, that rests on my desk. Praise You for the Word of God that we're putting in our hearts, that we might not sin against You, O Lord. Praise You, Lord, for the teaching, for the preaching, for the singing of the Scripture. Praise You, Lord, that You came, that You were the Scripture, that You are the Word. Oh, Lord, thank You for this precious truth, this powerful truth that's available, not hidden, God, but available to us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
To praise Him.
Oh, yes.
I am free to praise Him. I am free.
I'm free. I'm free.
To praise the
praise
Lord.
The Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's amazing. It's an absolute miracle. We come from all walks of life. We all have different natures and different characters. But here we are together worshiping the Lord because of the same Holy Ghost. Thank God. Amen. Great church. Great church. I don't care what anybody says about you. Hallelujah. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Shake hands and be friendly.